Hello, welcome to The 30 Project. My name's John Naylor, and I'm trying to make sense of growing up, one conversation at a time. Firstly, thanks so much for listening. Honestly, I've been pretty amazed by the response to the first three episodes, and it's really great to have all of you along with me for this. If you're downloading for the first time, a little bit about it. I've just turned 30 about a month ago now, and this has caused me to have a bit of a crisis about where I'm going with my life, what I'm doing, and what the best path forwards really is. I explain it all in a little bit more detail in the first episode, but essentially I'm feeling a little bit lost, and I think that quite a few other people of this generation are feeling the same way. I'm hoping that by talking about this with other people, both who are a similar age to me and people who've experienced it before, that I'll be able to get a little bit more of a perspective on what it means to be growing up and maybe get some answers for myself too. By the way, I'd love to hear from you if you'd like to come on and have a chat about your perspective on turning 30. If you have a great story to tell or you know someone who you think would be up for it, then you can get in touch through my website, that's www.the30project.co.uk, or by emailing hello@the30project.co.uk. I'm really keen to get as many different perspectives about this, so no matter what your background or experience, I'd really like to hear from you. Right, on to our next conversation. This time I'm talking to Colin, who preferred not to give his real name. While we were talking, I suggested Max Lasers for his pseudonym. He didn't really go for that one. He's a teacher based in the UK and is just coming up to 34. He emailed me after listening to the podcast, and I'm really glad he did because our chat was quite different to those earlier ones. Whereas in my first three conversations, there was a lot of talk about career, Collins was almost entirely about his personal life and how when he was younger, he really thought by now he'd have a wife and kids of his own. This was a completely different perspective to what I'd been thinking about on the pressures of growing up past your 20s, and really interesting to sort of get that other side of it. So here is Colin, and he started by explaining about how the satisfaction he's getting out of his job is a bit of a contrast to his personal life.
I think I'm at the stage where kind of two parts of my life, the career side of my life is going pretty well. I'm a teacher, I've been at the school I'm at for 10, 12 years now, progressively moving up, can see where I'm going with that in an ideal world. In the next couple of years, becoming deputy head, but obviously that's dependent on external factors and everything, but that side of it's going really well. But the kind of other side, the kind of home life, family thing, I suppose that at the moment is what is not living up to my expectations as a kid. So I come from a quite a big family, got three brothers. Even as a kid, I always wanted to have a family, have kids. If you'd said to me, I don't know, when I was 10, by 30, what would you think? I'd be married with kids. I'm nowhere near that position now. Around the 30 mark, both sides of it, I was thinking, what mark am I making? If something happened to me and I wasn't here tomorrow, does it make a difference? Would I be that missed? And I know that's quite a morbid way to look at it. And yeah, I've got a circle of friends, but I kind of feel I don't have that next level. So I've got lots of people that like me, but I feel I'm missing that person that like genuinely loves everything about me and is interested in everything. Even my younger brother, who's 6 years younger than me, is now his girlfriend's pregnant and things. So I kind of feel I'm a little bit left behind in that, on that side of it. Which is quite hard. The last 5 or 6 years, I've had sort of short-term relationships that have never gone anywhere. And truth be told, even before they started, for all of them except one, I knew it wasn't going anywhere, but kind of that's what you do. And in your 20s, that's fine. When you're 28, 29 or whatever, you go, okay, this might not be going anywhere. But then you hit your 30s and you think, if we're doing this, we've got to do it properly. And then about a year and a half ago, I met someone and it felt totally different. And we were together for a while and it was great. But then because of her past and things that have happened to her, particularly relationship-wise, she finds it basically impossible to trust anyone. So it's really, really difficult part of it. So basically on paper, we should be together. And had I met her 5 years ago, we'd be married with kids now. It's exactly what I've always wanted. And I think it's exactly what she always wants underneath this huge barrier that at the moment is there. Talk about what is your plan for your 30s. I think I know what that is. I know where I want to be, and I know exactly what that is, but it's almost at the moment I can't, and through no fault of my own, I can't proceed anymore with that side of it that would balance out the school thing.
A lot of the other interviews I've done have been very career focused.
Yeah.
in a career, you can see the line forward.
Yeah.
Whereas with yourself or with someone who is happy with their career but not happy with their personal life, there is no clear path forward. No. You can't say, if I do this, this, and this, then I will find a girlfriend and find a wife.
Yeah. The difficulty is, I've got lots of friends that say, right, well, you can't just hang around and wait for this to happen. But then, and part of me agrees with that, but there's a massive part of me that doesn't want to give up on it. And I've never really been someone that gives up on stuff. And I know the easiest thing for me to do would just be go, right, that's it. Not see her at all and kind of draw a line under it and then try and move on. Because at the moment, I'd say we're not together and I'm open to the idea of meeting someone else, but I'm not actively going because there's always that thing of it's not going to be as good. That's the thing about the 30s that I think you hit in your 20s, basically everyone moves to Clapham. That's kind of what happens. I never did, but everyone moves to Clapham or Balham or Putney, and that's great. And then you get to sort of late 20s to 30s, that's when people start, if they haven't already, moving in together, getting married, 32, 33, people have kids. I've kind of ridden all those waves without doing any of those things. And I'm at the stage now where I've got through the all my friends are getting married, it's now all my friends having babies or second babies. My younger brother is now, so there is a lot of pressure.
Do you feel that that pressure is external or internal?
I think it's mainly internal, but I think that internal pressure is driven by not so much pressure but expectation. Mm-hmm. And that's just like you say, like I teach kids, and there's a real sort of leveling quality about kids. There's no bullshit. They'll go, well, why are you doing that? Or why are you wearing that? Or why are you not married? And it's quite hard to explain to them, right, well, I just haven't met the right person, or I have met the right person, they're not quite ready, so we're just seeing what happens. And it's like, well, no, you're 30, and obviously because they all come from affluent families, they're all like, well, you should have a big house and a family by now. And we're like, yeah, I know, you don't need to tell me that.
Yeah, let's see how you're doing when you're married.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Shut up and do your spelling. So I think I give myself a much harder time than I should.
You were saying, like, in your 20s, it's fine to just have these relationships that don't go anywhere. Do you feel that you have fewer chances to give it a longer amount of time?
Yeah, absolutely. It does become hard to meet people because either the people you meet are already married and with kids or in relationships or whatever, and then you're not really going anywhere where, and you're not really socialising with many other single people, so you're never in that kind of environment. And the other thing is people have said to me for years now, oh, it's all right, you're young. You've got loads and loads of time. People have been telling me that for 10 years. And I'm like, okay, that's great, but I'm still nowhere nearer now what I want from that side of my life than I was when I kind of mid-20s. There is that element of where is this going and when are things going to happen? And the longer things don't happen, you then kind of, I say you, probably me, I then kind of spiral into negativity a little bit. And that's not true all the time, but I have moments where I kind of go, what am I doing? And it's that kind of classic thing, if you're really busy all day, you're running around, you're making sure the kids are okay, you're making sure the parents are okay, you're making sure the staff are okay, that's brilliant, it's knackering, you come home and just sit there and you go, what the fuck am I doing? Is this it?
I have the exact same thing with almost everything, is that I will, especially I think if I care about it, I'll procrastinate and not do it.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that is. If I'm sat at home, say if I've got a day off, I've sat at home with a list of everything. I will pick like the washing and the washing up and go down to the shops, go to the bank before I get to the thing that I actually need to do.
Yeah, of course.
And I wonder why the things that are the most important to people are the things that they end up spending the least amount of time doing.
I think that's because they're the ones that matter. So if you get them wrong, it's bad. If you just don't do them, it's still going to be okay. You can kid yourself. I think with my relationship thing at the moment, the most sensible thing to do would be to go, it's been a year of waiting around and seeing what happens. It doesn't seem to be any nearer than it was. So draw a line on it, walk away. But I don't want to, I can't bring myself to do that. That's really scary. I suppose I've been slightly ruined by growing up watching Disney films, kind of giving really unrealistic expectations about everything, where you're a boy, you fight pirates, you grow up, you fall in love, you get married. And I'm a bit of a sucker for, I don't know why I'm admitting this in public, but I'm a sucker for films like The Notebook and all those kind of really cheesy Nicholas Sparks type stories where no matter what, it works out in the end and it's worth it. And you wait 20 years and it's worth it. But can you do that in the real world? I don't know.
Do you think that in any way your career is a replacement for this?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I'm very driven in what I'm doing in my career at the moment because I've not got that other side. But if you ask me now, would I trade my career for a wife and family? I think I would. Whether that would make me ultimately happy or I'd still have the right, that's good and that's not, I don't know. I don't know the whole sort of human condition thing of are we ever happy? Are we ever pleased with what we've got, or do we always need something more? I guess ultimately it's that kind of feeling of being really valued. It's that thing of being the one, constant thing that someone else thinks about. To me, that feels quite alien at the moment. And this is going to be, it sound like a horribly cringy sort of arrogant comment, but people have said to me that I think about other people too much before I think about myself. And I know that I've sacrificed various things in my life because I've thought that'd be good for me, but there's other people I need to consider. And I suppose the other bit of information that makes that make more sense is that my dad died when I was 17. So since then, and particularly since my youngest brother's gone to university and then now living off where he's living, my mum has found it really, really difficult, and it's never really got over it, and never really will. So that was nearly 17 years ago, but she's lives quite a kind of isolated, she doesn't really see the joy in anything anymore. She's sort of just going through the motions, really. Apart from gardening, that's the one thing that's kind of saved her, really. Other than that, everything is, she sees everything with kind of the negative tinted glasses, really. So I try to be there. So where I live, I deliberately live 10 minutes down the road from her so I can go and make sure she's okay and all that sort of stuff. And that has meant I've given up quite a few opportunities, not necessarily relationship opportunities, but just opportunities that, from a selfish point of view, I probably should have done.
Did that make you, or does that make you, more acutely aware of your own mortality?
Yeah, I think there is that element of, I suppose that's why I'm thinking, well, if something happened to me tomorrow, what am I leaving behind? There's a line in a song that says, you can measure the mark of a man by the mixture of memory and wreckage that he leaves behind, which I think is a really cool way of looking at it. And I sometimes wonder, apart from my family, like I've said before, yeah, there's probably a few memories, but I don't know how much wreckage I'm leaving behind. And not knowing, yeah. And I'm sure, and I'm sure that's wrong. I know there's people that would be really upset, and it would be, but it does keep coming back to that. I want to be everything to one person rather than something to lots and lots of people.
Do you think that in some ways you might be pursuing that perfect relationship because your parents had that?
Yeah, maybe. And that's something I often think. Like, am I... So, like, the relationship I'm pursuing now, is that just because it's unavailable? That scares me a little bit as well. Because if that is the case, then maybe I'm never going to be happy. That's the kind of... The doubt that you have in your mind that is... No, it will anything ever be quite enough? But yeah, I think seeing the way my mum is now, totally, I think when my dad was alive, he'd balance her out. And again, this idea of not having to pretend everything's fine, but I don't really, if I'm feeling down, I don't want to show it in front of her because she's got enough issues of her own. It's quite tiring to pretend that everything is perfect all the time. Not perfect all the time, but to not let certain people know how you're feeling. Part of my job, but also I think part of my personality, is kind of almost being, without being false, I don't mean it in that sense, but being like a chameleon, changing for certain people. I think sometimes I lose track of who I actually am.
Well, that was Colin, a really powerful and poignant statement at the end there. I can definitely relate to changing your personality to fitting different groups or situations, but I thought it was really interesting how that all tied in for him with supporting his mum after his dad died, and the fact that maybe he doesn't have that person in his life that he can be completely himself around all the time. I was really grateful to him for being so honest during that chat, and I think that's something that I took out a bit, that sort of level of self-analysis can be super helpful in identifying what it is that's not making you happy. But I guess it's just what you do with that information that's the real key. Well, that's about it for episode 4, but don't forget, if you have any questions for me or suggestions for the show, or you think you'd be a great person to chat to, you can email hello@the30project.co.uk, you can visit the website, the30project.co.uk, or you can find the podcast page on Facebook, 30 Project Podcast. I'm going to try to keep these episodes coming as regularly as possible, so hopefully the next one will be up within a week or so. Thanks again for listening, and don't forget to get in touch with your ideas for interviewees. I will speak to you all soon. Bye-bye.